Please take your seat and open your Bible at Jeremiah chapter 26. I want us to concentrate upon the verse 2. It reads, "Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word." May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. We're going to bow, please, in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that it may please Thee this Sabbath day to come amongst us and open up Your word to us and apply it, Lord, in that manner that we so require. Help me, Lord, to preach today. Help me to apply Your word to the glory of our Savior. Amen. Amen. My subject I have entitled today, Faithful Preaching, the Need of the Hour. I think you will see from our text, the verse 2 of Jeremiah 26, that God expects His servants to be faithful. He charges Jeremiah here with the task of delivering His word to the people of Judah, and He specifically tells them that he must preach all the words that he's given, and he's not to diminish one word. Not to diminish one word. As I say, that's the need of the hour. It's a sad day indeed when God's people are not in possession of God's revelation of His will. God doesn't hold back secrets from His people. He doesn't require us to walk with a blindfold upon our eyes. But He tells us what is His will. He guides us by His word. The psalmist says, "Thy word is a light unto my path." And God wants us to walk in a path that's lit up so that we know where we're going and what it is that lies ahead. I have a feeling today that God's people do not walk in such a path or enjoy such enlightenment as God would have them enjoy. There's darkness abroad concerning many things. We do not know the direction that the nation is going in. We do not understand why it is that the present circumstances in our country prevails. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. If you and I waken up one morning and we feel a little out of sorts, we do not ignore such symptoms, especially if they grow worse. We recognize this is not how I should feel, and I'm going to have the matter investigated, and we go to one who can tell us what is the significance of this feeling of being unwell that has overtaken me. What is it causing it? And hopefully the doctor is able to help us. Well, God would have us pursue a similar path when it comes to spiritual matters. When things are not as they ought to be amongst the people of God, we should apply ourselves unto the Lord. And He has those He has appointed who will explain from His word why there is this sense of sickness amongst us. Woe unto us if those called of God, for one reason or another, are unable to tell us why, or perhaps are unwilling to tell us why, that the nation, the country, the church is in such a state. The kingdom of Judah has backslidden terribly. In the day of Jeremiah, it was bordering on utter apostasy. But though I'm sure the people didn't appreciate it, there was a man of God amongst them who most faithfully relayed to them God's message. And here in the verse 2, this faithful man of God, Jeremiah, is given a command by the Lord to go and address the nation, and to do so by going to the Lord's house and all that gather there, representative of every town and village in the nation. And of course, if he were to preach the message there to those people, it'll get carried to the far corners of the kingdom. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of assembling there. God wants the message to spread. I want you to notice very quickly that God wants the people confronted. He wants the people confronted with the issue of the day. Go, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. Confront them. Face them with what I have to say about their behavior. Not an easy command to carry out. One that required courage. But I do want you to see this fact. Confrontational preaching is not popular. In a day of backsliding, in a day of declension, people are inclined to say, preach unto us pleasant things. We don't want you to be controversial. We don't want you to annoy anybody. Preach pleasant things. But that's not the will of God, men and women. I can't see how anybody for one moment could possibly think that that is the will of God. I've drawn the parallel on so many occasions, I'm almost weary drawing the parallel, but I'll do it again, for it's a good parallel. What good is a doctor who, if you go to him seriously ill, out of an anxiety for your peace of mind, hides from you your illness and tells you to go home, don't worry about it. What good is that man? In truth, he's a criminal. He's acting contrary to the oath that he took. God's servants have got to be faithful to the Lord. Preach his word on the issue of today. And not remain silent. Not remain silent. You'll see that he was to tell everything. Oh, Jeremiah was no different from any other man. He trembled at the idea of facing these people. And you can see the sort of people that he was facing later on in this chapter, how they rose up to kill him, demand that he be put to death. Jeremiah was well aware of the temper of the people, and he would have gone there in fear and trembling. He was just a man like any other man. But by the grace of God, he got the victory, and he told all the word of God. He told all the word of God. He told them in a place where such a message was least welcome. They had all come to the house of the Lord to worship, it says in the verse 2. And coming up to the house of the Lord to worship, they're confronted by Jeremiah, telling them of their sins and their iniquities. That would have been most offensive. Of all the nations. Surely those who were gathered in the house of the Lord to worship would least welcome being told they were sinful and backslidden and defiant and disobedient to God. Oh, there is a message to be preached in our churches today, men and women. And it's a message concerning our backsliding, concerning our disobedience, concerning our turning away from the Lord. It has to be preached in our churches. I've written articles on this matter. Some years ago I wrote an article that basically took up the issue that sweeping matters under the carpet won't bring revival. Remaining quiet about sin that has been committed and ignoring it and turning our back upon it and pretending it hasn't happened won't bring revival. God's required path for us to tread is one in which we acknowledge our sins. We acknowledge our sins. You know, men and women, 30, 40 years ago and more, there was one verse that echoed around Free Presbyterian congregation. The echo of it being quoted had hardly died away until another minister came and quoted it again. And I'm referring to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And the verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face
and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That was preached upon repeatedly in the Free Presbyterian Church. It was drummed into our hearts and into our heads as God's way to revival. It was, of course, being directed not just at the congregation in the little gathering, but it was being directed further afield. It was being directed to all of Ulster. There was a need. If we were going to know God's blessing upon the land, there was a need to heed God, humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways. Men and women, that's still God's way. That's still God's way. And the Free Presbyterian Church needs the humility to acknowledge that we are not what we were. We're not what we were. The difficulty with this matter is, we have forgotten what we were. We have forgotten what we were. That is not so strange a thing, really. James said this in the first chapter of his epistle. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. This is verse 22 of chapter 1. Deceiving your own selves, for if ye be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself. There was a day, men and women, when the Free Presbyterian Church, as it assembled in its congregations and in its gospel tents and portable halls and rallies here and there, when they thus assembled, they heard the word of God and we beheld ourselves. We saw ourselves for what we were. Sinners, unfaithful, hopeless and helpless. You know, I'll never forget the days when as a student and then a little later as a minister just beginning his work, I had the privilege of sitting in many a meeting, many a tent, many a portable hall, and hearing the word of God preached with mighty power, principally by Dr. Paisley, and seeing at the end of meetings men and women of every age group standing up with tears running down their faces, repenting of their backsliding, repenting of their worldliness, repenting of their unfaithfulness to God, their staying in the ecumenical churches for as long as they have, and brokenly giving themselves afresh to God and yielding to Him. They saw themselves and they wept. What weeping days there were years ago amongst us. But you see, men and women, like the one spoken of here by James, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When you walk away from a mirror, you only carry in your mind the image that you saw in the mirror for a short time. Fades. And if we get away from the preaching of God's word, the applying of God's word to our lives and hearts, well, this day, if we get away from that, we'll soon forget what manner of person we are. I think that has happened to the Free Presbyterian Church. We have forgotten. We used to be very conscious of our poverty and our nothingness. In our part of the world, I remember meetings among the men folk in Kilskerry. They were anxious. It was the late 60s. They were anxious to start something in Kilskerry, to erect a witness in Kilskerry, because they had found the Saviour, but they were wanting their neighbours, their family, their connections to likewise hear the gospel. A site was obtained, given by two who had just come to Christ for a penny. The men folk gathered, and many a time I remember a meeting when all the money was gone, for this was a venture just amongst the men in Kilskerry, the families in Kilskerry. Money was all gone. No more sand, no more cement, no more blocks. When they met, they had a little weekly time of prayer, and sometimes after that they would meet together and say, what are we going to do? And somebody said, well, look, I can get a load of blocks. Right. Well, I'll get a load of sand. And so it went on. There was no big moneyed people amongst us. Absolutely not. And we lived, as it were, with a consciousness of we were nothing. And out against us there were all the powers that be. Tyrone County Council did everything in their power to stop us building that little hall in Kilskerry. They even, first time in their history, convened a meeting of the whole council on the site to see if they could find reasons why they should turn it down. The old Church of Ireland rector, conspiring with members of the council, had complained that this would bring more traffic to this little road and there would be people exiting from the church and this would create traffic hazards. Of course, they were also saying that nobody wanted the church and there would be nobody going to the church. But contradictory arguments don't worry liars like them. And they set out to prove, you see, that this was a busy little road and it would create traffic problems. So the old minister got on his bicycle and he rode up and down the road. And his wife, she got in the car and she drove up and down the road. And somebody else got a tractor out of it, but that was the height of it. There was no other traffic on the road, and with wisdom given us of the Lord, for 3 or 4 days and evenings, we had lain out behind the hedge and counted every car and took the number plate of every car that used the road legitimately. And so we could present it to the council. But there was opposition. And we had nothing. No money. No influence. We were nobodies. Oh, that throws you upon the Lord. But the Free Presbyterian Church, I think, has forgotten what it is. And instead of relying on the Lord, maybe we rely on others. Maybe we rely on others. Well, I tell you, Free Presbyterian pulpits need to get back to telling us one and all who we are, what we are. Go to my house, Jeremiah, and tell them the truth about themselves. They're coming up here to worship. They think they're holy. They think they're obedient. But they're in defiance of me. They reject me. They reject my word. Tell them that, Jeremiah. Because it's only by coming face to face with what they are that there is any hope of recovery granted to them. God wanted the people confronted. There's a need today for us to be confronted by God's servant. The need today. Such preaching is God's way of warning his people. It might rub you up the wrong way, but listen, you must need rubbed up the wrong way. You must need this discomfort in order to bring home to you that things are not right in your life. That God hasn't the place that he should have in your life. Such preaching is God's way of maintaining his people. The word of God is a cleansing agent. If it's not applied with vigor, it will not cleanse. It will not cleanse. As boys, we used to be scolded by mother for our short visit to the wash hand basin and the cat's lick that we felt was more than sufficient to deal with all our requirements regarding washing. But we were told, not at all, come with me. And she got your head down over the wash hand basin, got the old cloth out and began to scrub. For you didn't want to be scrubbed. Because that's how you get cleansed. And today we don't want vigorous preaching that gets to places that we don't want purged and cleansed. But that's God's way. That's God's way. You know, men and women, many Christians today are unaware of what is happening to our gospel heritage, to what's happening in Ulster, to the gospel. No clear view, no clear understanding. Oh, we see things deteriorating outside of the province. We see things even within the province that herald that there is a decline. But somehow or other, it doesn't get right home to us. That if there is a decline on the streets of the province, if there is a decline within the government of the province, then it has its roots amongst God's people. We need to see the departures and the declines that have been taking place here amongst us. If we're blind
to the backsliding and the sin that's taking place amongst us, then we are in grave danger. Such blindness, such ignorance is the fertile soil from which apostasy springs. I can recall many an argument and many a debate I had with Methodists, with Church of Ireland, with Presbyterians years ago, who didn't like the warnings that were coming from the Free Presbyterian Church about the World Council of Churches, about ecumenism, about the Romeward trend. They didn't like to hear these things, and they argued against them. And of course, if they refused the truth, and refused the light, and refused the instruction, then their denomination was doomed. And it would get worse and worse and worse, and they would blind themselves to that fact, and help to bring it about by so doing. But things now have moved on, and it's us that needs to waken up to the departures that have taken place within our own denomination. A weakening, a slackening of old stands and truths. In this darkness, then we're going to bring harm to ourselves. If we lose hold upon vital truths, vital issues that we once had a good firm grip of, then we will endanger ourselves. Let me illustrate this for you, please. Turn back to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. And in chapter 13 of 1 Chronicles, David has come to the throne. He's just beginning his reign. And he decides that he'd like to bring the Ark of the Covenant from the house of Abinadab to its rightful place. And you can read about it here. And so they set about moving the Ark of the Covenant. It says in verse 7 that they carried the Ark of God in a new cart. A new cart. They said, how are we going to move it? Let's make a new cart out of reverence for God. Not a cart that has been used for any other function. But we'll make a new cart and we'll move the Ark. Now that's acting in ignorance of God's word. They had every good intention. They were motivated by good intentions out of reverence for God. But they were acting in ignorance of God's word. And great trouble came that day. Because you know how when they came on the journey, you read there in verse 9, the oxen stumbled. And this good man, Uzzah, he was a good man, I've no doubt about that. I feel that we'll see Uzzah in heaven. He was there standing on the cart, and when he saw the old cart shaking, and the danger that the ark might fall to the ground, he put forth his hand to hold it. God smote him dead. He acted in ignorance. It says in verse 12, David was afraid of God that day. He was vexed and annoyed with God as well. Why did God do that? Sure, we were trying to do the right thing. We were wanting to honour God and bring the ark to its rightful place. And look what happened. They acted in ignorance. If we lose hold upon the clear teaching of God's word, no matter how sincerely we may try to act in that ignorance, we're going to bring harm to ourselves. Just like Uzzah. Just like Uzzah. I can suggest to you that if you look at chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles, maybe when you go home, you will discover that David suddenly realizes we shouldn't have carried it in a cart. God ordained that the Levites carry the ark. That's the way it should be done. But you see, when you lose a grip on the vital truths of God's word, you're going to make mistakes. The Free Presbyterian Church have voices that would tell us it's no longer necessary to avoid meetings of an ecumenical nature. That there are circumstances in which it's all right to go to a church that's apostate. Now, we once were convinced that that was wrong. We were once convinced from God's word that God's will was that we touch not the unclean thing. And it was emphasized to us in years gone by that it wasn't a matter of embracing, but just a touch was enough to contaminate us,
to offend God. But there are those who today, because they have lost touch with God's Word, and it's not preached to them. There are those who would say today, there are times when it's all right to go and mingle and touch. But my friend, it's not. And if we follow that road, it's going to bring great harm. Aye, destruction to the work and to the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church. Why are we not what once we were? Why are our congregations not the very throbbing heart of the gospel witness in the areas in which they were? That's how it was. We had some visitors from the Czech Republic with us just the other day. And I took them to a little tin hut in Lisbalaw, a very unbecoming looking place. It was then, and even more unbecoming now, as a result of rust and years. But I stood outside that little place, and I remembered when the people couldn't get into it. I remembered when speakers were put out through the windows. I remembered when it was the talk of the village and the countryside around. What is happening in this place? And that was happening all over Ulster in Free Presbyterian Church. Why is it not so today? Has God changed? Has His purpose altered? Or have we lost the secret that we enjoyed back then? Have we lost the blessing that we enjoyed back then? Have we lost the presence of God that we enjoyed back then? I say we have. And it's part of the darkness, part of the ignorance that has engulfed us. We don't know why things are as they are. And we don't know what's going to become of us in the future. We're in the dark. In Hosea, the chapter 4, please look it up. My time is gone, so I'll be closing very shortly. But in Hosea, the chapter 4, and the verse 6, God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That's why preachers must preach plainly, pointedly, the truth of God regarding the issues of today. It's not enough to preach up the doctrines that Luther and Calvin highlighted. Oh yes, they need to be preached today. But they did not just preach upon justification, but they preached against that which threatened the people of God in their day. Preachers need to do that today. Not what threatens the people of God in America, or England, or Scotland, but what threatens the people of God here in Ulster. That needs to be faced up to. The errors that have crept into the Free Church, the departures that have been initiated, the notions that we can change standards, principles, truths that once we embraced and held, we can change that and still enjoy God's blessing. That is wrong. That is wrong. You see, it's the reproach of the cross that is such a problem today. We have become respectable, men and women. We have become respectable. We don't want to bear reproach for Jesus Christ. We don't want to be looked down on. Our young people, they're looked upon as just another band of young people. In the streets of the village, the town, nobody turns and looks at them a second time. Very often, they want to dress like the rest of the world. They do want to be considered fuddy-duddy. I say young people, but I suppose in truth it's not just young people. There's old grannies and old aunties and mothers that like to be considered as being in the fashion. Hats are disappearing in God's house. You get them off in the car park, even before you leave the church. You don't want anybody down the town to see you wearing a hat. They'd know you're different. Men and women, that's the reproach of the cross. And I feel that there is a departing away from a willingness to bear reproach for Jesus Christ. There is more wickedness now in Ulster than there was 40 years ago, but there is less protest against it by Free Presbyterians than ever there were. Less protest now. There are Free Presbyterians who, because of their links with government, and because government is funding sodomites, would leave themselves open to public ridicule if they were to turn up at a protest against sodomy. Men and women, we have become contaminated. We have become stained, our garments are marked, and God wants His servant to declare this plainly. Because if it's not declared plainly, there's no hope of the people putting away their sin. If they're not told of the wrong they're engaged in, they cannot put it away. That's why God said to Jeremiah, go to the place where they assemble and tell them all the words that I have given you. Diminish not a word. Diminish not a word. We have become contaminated. We have lost that degree of separation that once we enjoyed. And if we are to know again the blessing of God that came upon us in that day of separation, if we are to enjoy again that degree of separation, then we must go back to that. We must call sin what is sin, even though it may have become a little fashionable amongst us. We must return, as Jeremiah was instructed to preach in chapter 6 and the verse 16. We must preach that God's will is that we stand in the ways and ask for the old paths. Nobody likes to be called old-fashioned. Nobody likes to be thought of as old-fashioned. God gave to the free church in years gone by a desire only for God's fashion. And they cared nothing for man's fashion. They delighted in God's fashion. They rejoiced in God's fashion. And they counted it an honor if people mocked them. But today we're not quite like that. Today we like to be thought well of. Even if it means not being thought well of by God. O men and women, should it not ever be our desire, our ambition, to walk in the favour of God, to walk in such a fashion as to please God? In Judges 6 you read of the nation sinning again in the sight of God. Who cares what people think? Who cares what the world's view is? Let us do what's right in the sight of God. That's the call that goes out to the Free Presbyterian Church today. That's the need of the Free Presbyterian Church today. Oh, may God have mercy upon us and stir all of us, to return to the old path. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. For His name's sake, could we just bow together, please, in prayer.